Hello and welcome. First of all, to 2024, Happy New Year to everyone tuning in. And second of all, welcome to PLNX, the Video Games Podcast. My name is Palash, and this episode will be a bit different. I know it's the new year and everyone is looking ahead to 2024 with lots of hope and excitement, and that's great. But I want to do something different. I want to talk about the games of 2023. Yes, I know, the year has gone by, so you might wonder why I'm talking about 2023. It's done, right? Well, to be honest, despite the record-breaking sales of games, playtimes, player engagement, and company acquisitions, to name a few, it wasn't the best time for a lot of studios and developers who sadly lost their jobs in 2023. As someone who has lost a job or two in my life, it's obviously not the best feeling in the world, and I wish all the developers impacted by the layoffs the very best, and I hope they find some amazing jobs soon and get back to making the wonderful, wonderful games that they always do. Because without a shadow of a doubt, 2023 was one of the best years for video games. Some people are even calling it better than 1998 and 2007. Honestly, I'll let you look at the releases of those years and decide for yourself if that is indeed the case. Personally, 2023 was a great gaming year for me. It seemed as if every week or so there was a game release that was really good. All the way from Hi-Fi Rush in January 2023 to the finals in December 2023. No, I didn't plan to call it the finals, that's the name of the game. The finals, it came out in December 2023, the final month of 2023. The year simply had a staggering number of great games. The downside of such consistency of good game releases is always that we have a limited amount of time. And like it or not, you and I are bound to miss out on some amazing games. I know I have missed out on at least one such high-profile game, which, full disclosure, I have bought the game, it's in my library, I've bought the digital deluxe edition of that game, and I haven't even started yet. I'll tell you what game that is in a little bit. So before we look ahead to 2024 in the next episode, spoiler alert, it's not looking as great as 2023, so we maybe should have more time to play these awesome games that came out in 2023 and we may have missed out on. I want to talk about the games I played in 2023 and share my experiences. Maybe there's a game or two that might intrigue you enough for you to go ahead and try it. So, as always, sit back, relax, Happy New Year once again, and I'll see you on the other side. All right, today is Wednesday, January the 3rd, and before I get into my list of games that I played in 2023, just wanted to let you guys know I won't be talking about all the games I played in 2023. Trust me, if I do that, you might have to buy a new subscription altogether for whatever platform you're listening to this on. It's just too long a list, and it just doesn't make sense to talk about all the games. I'm sure you know about most of the awesome games that came out, but I want this episode to be about the ones that may have gone under the radar, some of the lesser known games. All right, so let me start with the month of January, and I think even the month of February. The initial few months, I was playing a game that came out in 2022. Yes, I know, maybe a big deal for some, but that's just how it was. I was not able to finish that game in 2022. It came out in December 2022. The game is Marvel's Midnight Suns. It's a peak Firaxis game. If any of you have ever played any game by Firaxis, you know they are amazing at the card-based and turn-based games that they do. They've made some amazing games with XCOM and XCOM 2, and this was their take on the superhero genre. And yeah, Marvel's Midnight Suns was an absolutely amazing game. I think it's the game that I've spent the second highest number of hours in 2023, according to the PlayStation Wrapped thing that they do. So yeah, I've played over 60 hours of this and I absolutely enjoyed it. It was a brilliant game. And I get it that it did not review that well, it did not sell that well. Many people were put off by the trailers and the voice acting and maybe the animations. And I agree, it's by 2023 or 2024 standards, it's not the best. But the core gameplay loop, that is really amazing of Marvel's Midnight Suns. And that's just something that I truly enjoyed. Every character feels unique with the powers that they have, and although it's turn-based, you get that sense of being that superhero. I know it sounds a little weird when I say it. As a superhero, you don't wait for your turn, right? And that's the logical thing, and I guess maybe that's why many reviewers didn't like it and many gamers didn't buy the game eventually. But if you can give it a shot, please do. It's really an amazing game. Marvel's Midnight Suns. The next game I want to talk about is maybe a not so little game, so I'll not talk much about it, but it's the game I spent my most time in 2023, and that was Hogwarts Legacy. Yeah, that game is something else. I understand the controversy surrounding it. Personally, I don't think it's anything to do with the developers of the game. They've put their heart and soul into that game, and it really shows. The details that they've got of the Wizarding World, right down to the T. I think if you are someone who's a fan of the Harry Potter movies or the books or the Wizarding World as a whole, you will appreciate the level of care and attention that Avalanche Studios has taken for this game. It's really great. Give it a try if you're okay playing a game that somehow links to J.K. Rowling. Again, I won't talk about the controversy or anything like that. It's, again, different people have different views, and I respect that and I understand that. Personally, I wanted to support the developers who have put in so much of their time and effort to make the game, and I wanted to give it a try. I did, and I was super superbly amazed by it. It's a brilliant rendition of the Wizarding World, and I think everyone should give it a try to support the developers at least. The next game that I want to talk about is a little controversial, and I'll tell you why. It's Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Now, I know you might be wondering why I'm talking about this game. It's quite a big game, and everyone loved it and played it. And it is a great game, no doubt about it. I mean, the things that the developers were going for, it's so evident when you finally get to play that game. And the thing with Star Wars Jedi Survivor is that it launched in such a broken state. And this is an issue I have with the industry as a whole. And this is something I wanted to make maybe a dedicated episode on, and I think I'll do that over the coming few days or so. It's just this mentality of shipping a game even when it's not ready. Now, I understand that it's not exactly the developer's fault. There's people who've got some great management degrees and business degrees sitting in the higher up positions of these studios. And it's they who make the call of when a game has to go out, regardless of the condition that the game is in, whether it's playable or not, whether it'll run fine or not. They don't care about all of that. They just want to make sure they meet their quarterly targets and yearly targets and things like that. So it puts the developers in a bad light, and I hate that. It detracts from the experience of a day one buyer. So that's my experience of Jedi Survivor. I pre-ordered the game because I was really hyped for it. I had finished Fallen Order, the previous game, and I really liked it. I had loved it. So I was really hyped for Jedi Survivor. and I pre-ordered it, but the way it launched on the PlayStation 5, it just wasn't an experience that I would want anyone to go through, for that matter. It's something that had a lot of bugs, a lot of crashes. It had performance issues, performance dips, you name it, and the issue was there. So much so that I just put off playing the game, and I finished it, I think, when they released a significantly large patch several months later. And that patch fixed most of the issues. There are still some issues in that game. You still see some sort of texture pop-ins and textures loading in late, but it's very rare, and now it's a brilliant experience to play on the PlayStation 5. So yeah, Jedi Survivor, great game if you just take away all the performance issues and just look at the game for what it is in terms of the writing, the gameplay, the direction, the story. All of that is top-notch. The graphics, everything is top-notch, and I really enjoyed the experience. It's very close to one of the Star Wars movies that you can watch, but instead of watching, of course, you're playing it because it's a video game. It's really in-depth, and it's an emotional story. It has a lot of emotional beats as well. So it stays with you, it lingers with you even after you finish the game. But that's the thing. You need to have a game that you can play for you to be able to finish it, if that makes sense. And Jedi Survivor just was not at that place when it launched. So yeah, I didn't have the best experience with it at launch. I had to wait a few months, and it felt like, man, I was one of the people who paid for the initial pre-orders, and I got a subpar version of the game. But if I would only wait for about 6 months and wait for all these patches, I could get the game for a lesser price because it was available on some sale somewhere. So I would have got it at a lesser price, and I would have had a better experience than someone who bought it at launch. And it just does not sound right. It's not fair. It's not right. That's not how pre-orders are supposed to be. It's the game that has led me to not pre-order any games anymore. Yep, that's it. I have decided I will wait for reviews. I will wait for performance reviews and things that Digital Foundry does. And I will wait for those kinds of information to be available before I decide to buy a game. Because in most cases, the pre-order goodies just don't make sense anymore. Unless it's something really significant, I don't see myself pre-ordering any games. So yeah, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, you have the honor of being the game that put me off from pre-ordering any future games. Sorry to the other developers, but Jedi Survivor is to blame. Great game though. The next game I want to talk about is Sea of Stars. And I know most of you must have heard about this game, and it's some game that won a few awards here and there. It even won the Best Independent Game Award at the Game Awards 2023. And yeah, it's generated quite a bit of buzz overall. But I still feel there are people who just do not understand or appreciate this game enough. Or they've seen the trailers and they say, oh, it looks like Stardew Valley, and yeah, I don't want to play it. But trust me when I say this, if you are someone who has grown up in the 90s and you have played any, and I mean any of those classic JRPGs like Chrono Trigger and games like that, I'm sure you get what I mean. A proper top-down 2D JRPG game which has pixel-like graphics and lots of dialogue boxes and text that you have to read, no voice acting whatsoever, amazing music, but the music is obviously reminiscent of that era, of that generation. No modern instruments or anything very latest, of course. It's Sea of Stars is a game like that. It's absolutely nostalgic. I think that's the best word I can use to describe it. The developers wanted to go for nostalgia, and they've just picked the word nostalgia and they ran with it when they made this game. I absolutely adore it. Some of the scenes of that game really look like a painting, and I could just look at them for several minutes without progressing any further because it just looks so beautiful in those parts when you're up on top of a mountain and there's wind blowing and there's a slight breeze and you have certain powers that you have to use, and you can change the day and night cycle. That's one of the things that your main characters can do in this game. And the story is amazing. It has, again, a few emotional beats, and some story elements will really surprise you. And there's betrayal and everything. The game literally has got a lot of character. And like I said, it plays on nostalgia very well. So if you are someone who has no idea about the games I'm talking about from the 90s, like Chrono Trigger, that's fine. You can skip this game. But if you even remotely are interested in a game like this, Sea of Stars is one of the best games that you can play. Because obviously, games like Chrono Trigger and things like that, they haven't aged that well. Right now, yes, the graphics obviously still have the pixelated look and everything, but it just doesn't play that well. So I think Sea of Stars finds that balance superbly well. They have that right mix of gameplay from the old games, and they have put their own new twist to the combat system. It is a turn-based combat system, obviously, like games were back in those days. And they've done a brilliant job of mixing the old and the new. And I feel the developers, Sabotage Studio, have done an amazing job. They've done so well that even the creator of Chrono Trigger, it just I think in the last few days, tweeted out, or I think said in an interview or something, that he really appreciates what they've done with this genre. And he really loved playing Sea of Stars, and he just had high praises for that game. And I think that's totally well deserved, and I'm sure the people at Sabotage Studio will be really ecstatic to hear from the creator of essentially this genre, to be honest, from the 90s, talk about it. I'll see if I can find a link to that interview or a tweet or something, sorry, a post on X. And I'll put that in the show notes because it's just so amazing. Sea of Stars is a game that I can go back anytime and play any part of the game. And it's quite lengthy too. You'll easily spend over 50 hours on that game. And I really think the developers have made a brilliant, brilliant game. Sea of Stars, make sure you do check it out. The next two games I want to talk about are not so little games. They are pretty huge, pretty big, so I won't spend a lot of time on them. If you haven't played either of them, I suggest you please find a way to play them. Both of them are amazing games. The first one is Final Fantasy 16, and the second one is Marvel Spider-Man 2. Both are amazing games. There's really nothing else that I can say about those games that haven't been said already. It's just experiences. You have to just experience those games for what they are. The story, the gameplay of both of those games, it's just amazing. Final Fantasy 16, with its world and the rich content that they've just developed over years, over several years, to make that kind of content and to make that backstory of that game. It's so rich. It's just amazing. And Spider-Man 2 builds on the first game, which was absolutely amazing. And it has a few new mechanics, and it just adds on to that. And both games are a must play from 2023. So if you haven't, I really, really suggest you go out and play Final Fantasy 16 and Spider-Man 2. The next game that I want to talk about is The Finals. Like I said in the intro, it came out in December 2023. It was a shadow drop. It was announced that, hey, there's a latest trailer during the Game Awards. Watch the trailer and make note of the release date at the end of the trailer. And at the end of the trailer, they announced that, hey, it's available now. You can download and start playing. And yeah, it was a shadow drop. I had this on my radar because earlier in the year, the developers did, I think, a closed beta or something like that. And a few YouTubers got their hands on that. And I saw the gameplay videos and it looked really amazing. And personally, I am someone who does not play a lot of shooters. I don't have great reflexes. Yeah, I just don't play competitive shooters much. It's just not my style of game. It's just not the genre I enjoy the most. But I thought, hey, the finals looks really interesting. Let me give it a try. And boy, was I surprised. The game is amazing. The movement is fast. And yeah, although my reaction time is still slow, and the initial few games, I died quite a lot. But above all, I was having fun. See, the problem I have with most competitive shooters these days is that they are made in a way where you are competing against each other. Nothing wrong with that. If you are someone who loves that, great, good for you. Games like Overwatch and Counter-Strike and things like that, they're really great games. But yeah, they have that competitive aspect to it. And when you are in that zone, even a tiny mistake feels like a lot, right? And yeah, to me, that's something I just can't enjoy. I'm not having fun if I'm constantly thinking about being competitive. So the finals, I think, blurs that line very, very well. It is a competitive shooter. You can play it competitively if you want to. But at the same time, it's fun. Above all else, I don't care if it's competitive or not. For me, it's fun. It's amazing fun. I think this is that game that reminds me of the early days of Apex Legends before it became too huge. And then obviously I started losing interest in Apex Legends. I think it's still a good game, but yeah, after the initial few months, I didn't play Apex much. But this game, the finals, I think it captures that 3v3 genre really well. And you can only have 3 or 4 teams on one map. It's not a battle royale. It's not 100 players jumping in all at once to play the game. It's just teams of 3, and there are either 3 or 4 teams depending on the mode you choose. And that's it. That's all there is to it. But the thing that makes the finals different from all other shooters out there is the level of destruction that you can do in this game. There are some amazing clips out there. I've put some of those clips on my YouTube channel as well of my first win in the finals, despite me being a noob in this genre, in this type of game. And even some great plays that I was able to pull off despite being a noob. And then that's the beauty of this game. It is very beginner friendly, and it's just something that you have to enjoy. It's fun. That's the bottom line of it. The finals is super fun. I do want to talk about one very important thing. There is a little bit of controversy around this game. The developers have admitted that some of the voice acting that's been done in the game, although there's not much of it, but whatever little there is AI generated. And there are some people who are furious about that and they don't want to support this game. And I get that opinion. I get that sentiment of people who are not wanting to play this game anymore because it has AI generated voices and it's impacting the voice actors. But the developers, in their defense, have said that whatever AI voices they have used, they have made sure that the person's voice it is that the AI model was trained on, they have been compensated in some way or the other. Again, I don't exactly know how they've managed to do that, but if they have, that's great. But even if they haven't, here's my personal take on it. I am fine with it. I am okay if a developer or any creative person uses AI to enhance their product or to make their product even a little bit better. I understand that using an AI-generated voice can have an impact on actual real voice actors. And I understand that fact. But if a developer wants to save money, because at the end of the day, no matter how much the developer says that, hey, we are doing this so that we can focus on some of the other features we wouldn't have been able to if we spent money on a real voice actor. I get that. It sounds very like a corporate answer to me, honestly. And at the end of the day, it's about profits, right? If they're using an AI tool to generate the voices, they're saving money. That's the end of it. And I'm sure that is the primary goal for any game. But here's what I feel. If a game is a free-to-play game like The Finals is, they have to find ways to cut costs, right? Because the only way this game makes money is obviously via distribution, but also via microtransactions. And with the overall sentiment that people have with microtransactions, I know there are a lot of people buying it, but there are a lot of people who don't spend any money on microtransactions at all. I am one of them as well. I do not spend money on microtransactions, period. It's just a rule I follow. If a game wants me to spend money, sorry, I will not do that. So yeah, The Finals has all cosmetic microtransactions, to be fair. They don't have anything that enhances or gives anyone an advantage on the gameplay. So yeah, I really feel that it's fine. If I was in their position, maybe I would have done the same. I understand it impacts the real voice actors, but at the end of the day, for a free-to-play game, they have to make their profit or cut costs somewhere or the other. They chose to do it in this aspect of voice acting because, like I said a few minutes back, there isn't a lot of voice acting needed in this game. I mean, even if they did get real voice actors, I don't know how much of a difference it would have made to the overall experience of the game. So yeah, I just wanted to address that as well and make sure I talk a little bit about that also. Like I said, Finals is a great game. Give it a try if you're okay with it, obviously. And it's fun. It's just a fun, amazing game. All right, now I want to talk about the game that I missed out on. Well, going by the number of games I shared today, which were, I think, only 4 or 5. Yes, there are a lot of games that I haven't played in 2023. And I would really want to, but one game that I will start, I think, either tonight or tomorrow. And yeah, it's the one I spoke about in my intro. I've bought it. I've had it in my library for several months now, but I haven't started it. It's Baldur's Gate 3. Yes, I know. It's everyone's game of the year. It's one of the best games ever made, apparently. And it is being considered as a really, really good game, and I just haven't gotten around to playing it. It's, I don't know. I'm a little apprehensive because I know it doesn't scale that well for consoles. This game, it's primarily a CRPG, which is a computer RPG, in case you weren't aware of that abbreviation. So it plays best on a computer. But yeah, I don't have a gaming PC, so the only way I can play it is on my PlayStation 5. So I will give it a go, obviously. I will start that, like I said, either tonight or tomorrow. And yeah, I'll have some thoughts about it. I don't know if I will be one of those who spend 150 hours on that game. or maybe even more. Some people have spent close to 200 hours on that game, I believe. I don't know. But yeah, let's see. I don't know. I want to approach this with an open mind. I don't want to approach it with a notion that, hey, it's made for PCs and I won't enjoy it on consoles. No, that's not the case because a lot of people have been playing it on consoles and they have been enjoying it. The game came out on Xbox Series X and S, but the S version obviously doesn't have co-op. So yeah, if you're on the Xbox platforms, you can buy it and play it as well. But yeah, I will give it a shot. That is my miss of 2023. And yeah, I plan to rectify that because like I said, 2024 does not have that packed of a release calendar so far. So far, we are early on in the year. It's just the third day and companies have not announced all of their plans, obviously. So yeah, we are still early on. So the release calendar can get packed as the months go by. But for now, yeah, I think it's pretty chill. It's pretty relaxed in 2024 in terms of game releases. So yeah, I will give Baldur's Gate 3 a try. And that will be something that I will talk about in the coming episodes. If not the next one, maybe the one after that, once I've got some considerable amount of time in it, I'll have some thoughts and opinions, I'm sure. And I'll discuss that with you. So yeah, that is it. That was the first episode of 2024 of PLNX, the video games podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. That was my list of games that I think everyone should play in 2020, that came out in 2023. And if you missed it, you should play it, of course. Let me know about your games. I'm really, really curious. Like I said, 2024 is pretty light and I think I'll have more time to play. So I would want to try out some games that I may have missed out on in 2023. Let me know. You can comment on Instagram or on Spotify and let me know about what games you want me to play in 2024. Let me also know about what upcoming games you are excited for. I'll tell you mine. It's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's coming out in February and yeah, I'm really hyped for it. Really excited. The first part was amazing. I have not played the original Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation 1. So I'm really enjoying the story and I'm really looking forward to this game and I can't wait. So yeah, that's my pick for 2024. Let me know what game you are looking for in 2024 as well. And that's about it. That's this episode. Make sure you rate on Spotify and follow and subscribe and all those things. And I'm sure you know what to do. This is Pulash signing off. Thank you for tuning in to PLNX, the Video Games Podcast.